Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. I'm your host, John Paul Hurley. This is episode number 203. I think 203's got to be somebody's area code. We're going to give a shout out to the 203. Anybody that is listening?
I think it's Ludacris.
It kind of does sound familiar, doesn't it?
Did Ludacris have any hoes in 203? Or pros?
I got hoes. Pros. That's Connecticut. Anybody in the area code 203 listening, reach out to us, the main handle at FF Dynasty Trades. We'll give you some sort of like reward if you're listening, just for being episode 203. If you reach out to us, tweet at us, let us know you're from the 203.
Hey, speaking of, you know, you went Ludacris, we should just, you know, send out some good thoughts to DMX, man.
Yeah.
Sad. Tough. Moment of silence for the DMX.
Is he not going to make it?
Apparently, there's a little brain activity from, I think, an overdose.
Oh, no.
That sucks.
That's my childhood.
It's funny, like, yeah, right? The kids these days, no clue who DMX is.
No,
like, it's
really
just
no idea.
Doesn't resonate the same. You know, I wasn't a huge fan of his music, but he did have a couple bangers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've all seen those memes where, like, you know, it's like stop, drop, and roll, and they say stop, drop, and then shut him down, open up shop.
Yeah.
Nice. I always had a hard time delineating between DMX and Ja Rule just because they kind of hit it big at the same time, and they were in the same pocket. I know Ja was less barky, but...
Yeah, one it was mean. The other one was just, you know... He did some stuff with J-Lo.
Yeah, that's right. J-Lo. Still looking good at J-Lo? 50, whatever.
What did he do with J-Lo?
No, he had some songs with
her. The way you walk, the way you talk.
I think that's Ashanti.
Right?
There's one with J-Lo. I'm Real. He did I'm Real with J-Lo.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I do remember
that one. Song I was singing, yeah. Anyway, this is our podcast. Talking was Izzy Elkafoss on Twitter at @DTC_IzzyE. Is it Eazy-E or Izzy-E?
Dude, Eazy-E. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Dude, you got to change your handle now.
I'd be rich, but I'd be dead. Yeah, I should.
That's amazing. Also joining me, my other co-host, Nicholas. By the way, is it Nicholas? Is your legal full first name Nicholas?
Oh, yeah. It's Nicholas.
Nicholas Whalen on Twitter at @_NickWhalen. Not Nicholas Whalen, but Nick Whalen on Twitter, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a question though. I mean,
does your mom call you Nicholas?
It's when I'm in trouble that comes out, and then the middle name comes out.
Oh no!
What is the middle name?
Robert.
It is Robert. Yeah.
Is it really?
Robert.
Yeah.
You're lying.
No, that's serious.
Damn, good. You look like such a Nicholas Robert.
But now I don't. Now I know the person that hacked my computer is Izzy. Now I just know he's in the database. He knows
all of
my accounts.
Izzy-E.
He did not seem surprised. So he seems like he expected me to guess Robert. That's such a vanilla name. Nicholas Robert is the most vanilla name ever, which I love.
But dude, I'm not special, so it's okay.
It's tough.
Hey, I got a really cool story for you guys before we get started. By the way, for the listeners out there that don't care about our meaningless babble, we've got some cool stuff to talk about. We're going to go through some NFL mock draft. We're going to do like consensus style. We're going to talk about quarterbacks and landing spot scenarios. So it's kind of fun, actually. We're excited about this. But this is like a follow-up from our last, or a couple episodes ago. We had, Waylon, you haven't heard this yet. So we did like a real/fake sponsorship for Waterpik. because you kind of like gave us a shout out and stuff like that. We ended up having the show sponsored by Waterpik, and I joked that they paid us millions of dollars for the sponsorship. And guess what? Just Izzy's holding one up right now, and they heard through the grapevine that we sponsored them on a podcast. They all heard it, like all the big wigs, the high ups, the VPs and stuff, and they sent us a free Waterpik. So we are officially sponsored by a Waterpik.
Wow.
And they knew you already had one, so I could not secure a one for you. But
does that qualify as sponsorship? Yeah, it kind of does, right? We got a free Waterpik
payment
out of it.
It's payment for pub.
Wow, that's
awesome. So I think, and if that one wasn't because we hadn't received payment preemptively, maybe this one is. Like we're gonna have to actually. This show is actually sponsored by a Waterpik.
Nice. Right.
And if you don't have one, it's life changing. Izzy, I can see yours is unopened, so we'll have to get a like a testimony from you next week.
Do I have to charge this before?
I didn't charge mine.
You have to charge.
I would, but I didn't have to charge mine to use it to begin with. So, but it's life changing, man.
Yeah, and when you guys purchase a Waterpik, if in the code you can put Final Thoughts with Nick Whalen, that will get you 20% off.
That would be amazing. So congratulations. This episode is sponsored by Waterpik. Let's hear a sweet jingle from our producer, Jonathan Mosier. Waterpik.
A tiny AF time ago, I ate some sticky food. I chomped and ground another steak into a protein glue. Betwixt my molars, wisdoms, and incisors too, there is but only one tool now to free me from this shame. It goes by Waterpik the Brave, I tell you that's its name. An aqua battle axe, my friend, it's not a flipping game. Oh, I get the water blast and PSI is supercharged. I can't believe it's legal, I wouldn't take it in a bar. Dear Lord, this thing is crazy, water picking up a storm. Pressure washing this here gob will now be my new norm. Gotta shift into a new paradigm. Gotta load it up to the filling line. Gotta shoot it out until they shine. Gotta rinse my mouth, release dopamine.
All right, you guys, let's get into the content. That was an awesome jingle from Mosier on Waterpik. I like that one better than the first one. That was awesome. Thanks, Mosier. Let's get into the content. So we're going to go through, I think we're going to start at the top this time because between Trevor Lawrence and Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, there isn't a lot of scenarios. They're pretty much consensus top one and two, same teams. So we'll talk about them briefly, but then we'll go into the meat and potatoes of the podcast with the other three or four. One, two, three, four. The other three. So Trevor Lawrence, Izzy, why don't you guys both just go back and forth and talk to me about Trevor Lawrence, Jacksonville Jaguars. We haven't really gone too deep into it, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking at a situation where I think everybody feels pretty confident in Trevor Lawrence's long-term outlook. It really comes down to what his upside is. So I think he's a safe projection in the NFL in terms of being at least, at worst, a solid starter. It's yet to be determined how spectacular he could be. I think the big thing with these young quarterbacks is who they get paired with as coaches. And I don't know enough about Urban Meyer at the next level to really put any sort of confidence behind Trevor Lawrence's name long-term with Urban Meyer. And the college coaches coming over from the NFL, I don't know what the actual track record is historically, but the ones that stand out in my mind are the ones that have bombed. And then there's been some good ones, but, it really comes down to what Urban Meyer can do in the NFL, I think. And that's what will dictate Trevor Lawrence's upside. So if you're a big fan of Urban Meyer and you believe in his NFL prospects, then I think you should be pretty excited about Trevor Lawrence. So, that's kind of my take on it. I think Trevor is one of those guys where if you draft him at 101, I can't see a scenario where he completely bombs. I just don't see how that happens.
I wonder if Urban's going to matter much. I could see it now, like years from now, people are going to say like, oh, Urban Meyer is such a great quarterback developer because look what he did with Trevor Lawrence. But I don't think it's going to have much to do with him personally.
Well, I mean, I think certain coaches set up their players for success. Maybe Trevor Lawrence is a player that transcends that to where it doesn't even matter. And that definitely is in the range of outcomes. But we've seen situations where players have been held back by their situation. So it'll be interesting to see how Trevor Lawrence performs with Urban Meyer. I think it matters a little bit. I think it matters.
A little bit, like, yeah.
I said, it doesn't matter whether he's successful or not. It just matters how successful he is based on how he's utilized.
I just wonder, like, over the course of time, and Waylon, maybe I'll ask you this question directly. Are there any quarterbacks over the course of time that you can definitively say that their success is tied directly to whatever, you know, head coach they had? I don't know if I can really say that. Maybe Patrick Mahomes, I guess. Like,
once again, it's not about success. It's about how successful. It's about maximizing the upside.
That's what I'm talking. Yeah, let's talk about, like, top end success then.
For me, no, because I mean, a lot of time it's, you know, the chicken or the egg. Like, we don't know which one it is. It could be, did Tom Brady make Bill Belichick? Did Bill Belichick make Tom Brady? I mean, that's probably the most famous one. You could go Bill Walsh with Montana and Young, but like, I don't know that it matters that much for a couple of reasons. One is, I think Trevor Lawrence is a good prospect. I don't think he's perfect. Like, everyone has him on this pedestal, and we do this. We do this all the time. When a guy breaks out early in college and flashes, we keep them in this hierarchy of Devy. N'Keal Harry's another one like that, where he's always like, oh yeah, he's going to be it. And it's just like, well, like, let's look at the later data. I mean, Trevor Lawrence's freshman year was unbelievable. That playoff run that he had the last couple of years, I don't think it's been as perfect or as good as people anticipated. He's much better runner than people give him credit for. He takes some hits. He doesn't need to. Sometimes he stares down reads and throws picks that I've seen. I'm like, what's going on with that? I expected more. But overall, the arm, the size, the speed kind of reminds me of like a little bit of a souped up Josh Allen is really what he kind of reminds me of. But Urban Meyer hasn't stayed in certain places very long. You look at his tenure. He's at Florida. He builds a superpower there with tons of speed. If people don't remember, with Percy Harvin and Jeff Demps and Chris Rainey, along with Tebow, like, it was speed in every direction. And then he's got health issues and leaves. Goes to Ohio State, builds that program back up. They're in it. They win a title. They're in it. He steps away. Health issues. How long is he going to last? He's 56, but how long is he going to last? That's the biggest question that I think that I have. Trevor Lawrence obviously is going to outlast Urban Meyer at Jacksonville. So, I mean, if it's 3 years, it's whatever. It's 3 years. I don't really care.
It's not necessarily about that. It's about, you look at, I think a lot of people look at a guy like Sam Darnold, for example. The fact that Sam Darnold hasn't reached his potential as a solid starter because of Gase. Like, he wasn't put in positions to be successful, whether it's schematically.
Yeah, but you can say that definitively, like, it's not at all Sam Darnold's fault.
Well, why do landing spots matter for quarterbacks? Why are we so fascinated with San Francisco at three? So if you look at Zach Wilson falling to okay, let me ask you a question. Zach Wilson goes two to the Jets or three to San Francisco. Which Zach Wilson would you want? Which, if you were betting on Zach Wilson's career,
49ers,
would you bet more money? Why? If it doesn't matter.
Coaching staff seems like, yeah.
Oh, okay. I get your point. So that's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying, like, the fact that he's being considered that high has to do with his talent also, not just the landing spot.
I get that. And I didn't say anything about his success. I said how successful.
So can I rephrase my point? I think that the failure of a quarterback, like a top end prospect quarterback, has more to do with the coaching staff than their self. Whereas I think the success of a top end prospect quarterback may have more to do with themselves than it does their coaching staff. I'm segregating failure and success.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I think it's more likely that a coaching staff can destroy a quarterback prospect than a coaching staff can make a top end prospect elite.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is more around the support around a quarterback. You can have a good, and this is kind of why the whole Burrow thing, this happened with David Carr. It happened with, was it Joey Harrington? They just, they're put in situations where they stand no chance.
Well, what about like Andrew Luck?
See, and that's what I was going to get after. I mean, I think what matters more here is resiliency, which is the things that we can't measure, I think matter way more than anyone wants to talk about. It's your work ethic and overcoming. I mean, Andrew Luck got beat on. Peyton Manning got beat on. Peyton Manning didn't have a great couple of years in the NFL, and then he overcame some of that. I mean, as we know with Tom Brady. Tom Brady didn't have success early on in his career or wasn't this great passer and then learned to be that Big Ben.
What do you mean? He won a Super Bowl his first year. It's pretty successful.
But he wasn't a great passer, is he? Is
well, yeah, yeah. And then I became get that, a great but passer.
Same with Big Ben. Big Ben developed into this great whatever. And I think that resiliency and work ethic is what matters here.
But you're referencing all Hall of Famers, all Hall of Fame talent. If you're saying that you're concerned, you're not concerned, but you don't think Trevor Lawrence is a surefire slam dunk pick, we can't automatically assume that he's going to be part of the Hall of Fame lore. Like
he is,
we don't
he's
know
in that conversation prospect wise, though.
Yes, so I get that, but it's not guaranteed. So when we're comparing, what are the resilient players that have that are not Hall of Fame quarterbacks, but had very, very poor situations that they've managed to overcome to be solid quarterbacks? And I'm sure there's a few that, but not off the top of my head. But regardless, I think we all agree Trevor Lawrence is going to the Jags. We all agree that he will be a good quarterback. I'm just saying, I don't know what his pure upside will be because I don't know how Urban Meyer is going to perform at the NFL level. That's just
okay
my take.
Yep.
And I'm really curious what his system is going to be there too. You know what I mean? Because it's been a little bit of this spread read option type thing. I don't know that he wants to put Lawrence through that. Maybe he does.
No.
That's going to add fantasy value if he does allow him to run for 600-700 yards. So it's going to be interesting to see what they run.
Yeah, for Lawrence, maybe not so much for the surrounding cast, but I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move to the next one. So at 102, it sounds like the consensus is the New York Jets are taking Zach Wilson. Same type of conversation. Maybe we can kind of like supersize this one, keep it a little bit shorter, starting with Waylon. So Waylon, Zach Wilson to the Jets. No other scenarios here. So maybe just weigh in. Waylon's weigh in.
Ooh.
You know, we all have this bias, you know, and my bias going into watching Zach Wilson was like, this guy's overrated. Like, you know, you watch a couple of clips and you're like, people are just hyping him up. Man, I really like Zach Wilson. He's got this moxie to him, which you need to have confidence as a quarterback because all the stuff that's going to happen, this resiliency that we talked about. But all of the little stuff that I like his mechanics. I like his feet. I love his anticipation, his reads, accuracy. I like so much of his game that I think the conference that he played in and opponents, I think he can overcome that. So I'm pretty excited about him as a quarterback prospect. In terms of fantasy, which I think is another conversation that we can have among these quarterbacks, I think I would have him at 3, but he's my second, and he's closer to Trevor Lawrence than I think a lot of people realize in terms of a prospect. And Izzy, you had stated this, like, you know, where would Zach Wilson have more value between the Jets or San Francisco? I mean, we severely overrate San Francisco prospects all the time. Dante Pettis, how many running backs? Joe Williams is going to be the guy. He stood on the table for Joe Williams. He's going to, how many running backs are we going to do this? Tevin Coleman.
And, yeah.
Matt Breida, like we do this all the time because it's Kyle Shanahan who's had one winning season in the NFL.
But we put him on this
Mount Rushmore. We just do.
We're
tying him to fantasy. We don't care about his record.
It's about the fact that Kyle Shanahan may not have the success of nailing every pick that he's had in terms of skill, like the running back wide receivers, but the way that he sets up his quarterbacks for, like, Jimmy Garoppolo is not a good quarterback, but the players that he does have, Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, and the running backs and how they're utilized, the yards after catch is otherworldly every single season, it seems. So you don't have to be a great quarterback to rack up fantasy points in that offense. So it's purely based on what the quarterback success is relative to other landing spots, like the Jets, for instance, where Zach Wilson doesn't need to be great. He just needs to be okay. And the positions, the scheme that Kyle Shanahan, whether San Francisco's a great team or not is irrelevant, but schematically, they do a good job of getting players open. They get to do a good job of getting the yards after the catch, and that's important for fantasy success. So they've had
one player in the top 10, right, finish as a top 10 fantasy asset, and that's George Kittle. No one else, right?
Sure, for wide receiver running back, sure. And I think if they had a solid quarterback, they haven't had a solid quarterback.
He handpicked Jimmy Garoppolo. Did he not?
Jimmy, like if you look at statistically, he's a lot better statistically than he actually is. And that statistic is very heavily carried by yards after catch.
Yeah, and isn't there a lot of injury history there too? Like if you did by average, it might be different. Because I think like Mostert was incredibly productive while he's playing.
Yeah. For sure.
To me, I'm just saying this. I just think we overrate Kyle Shanahan a little bit. And whether people want to acknowledge that or not, like, oh, he's this fantasy guru. But like, is he? Like, it's always like committees. People will bust out. But then they'll have these stretches of like, what happened? San Francisco. So anyway, I like the Jets situation with Zach Wilson. And this is the problem. We talked about this. There's this bias. We have this bias with the Jets, right? Adam Gase is no longer there.
Sure.
Okay. I like their head coach hire. I like that group. Look at the group that they have starting there. You got Corey Davis now there. You have Denzel Mims there. You got Crowder there. You have probably a running back drafted in the top of round two, I would guess. So let's say that's any of the top three. And now you have Zach Wilson. And that looks like a pretty solid little situation starting to go on.
I gotta say this. I think it's very interesting that you like the coaching staff in New York, and the offensive side of the ball is Mike LaFleur, who's followed Kyle Shanahan everywhere.
I like the hire, I said.
Yeah, yeah. So, but if you like the situation with all of that and the hire, how do you like Mike LaFleur being the offensive coordinator, but you don't like Shanahan?
I said we overrate Shanahan. We're not like love, hate. Well, I'm in the middle here, but I think we need to be more in the middle on Kyle Shanahan and more optimistic about New York, which we just have this preconceived notion of like, they're always going to suck because they've always sucked. It'd be like if Chicago drafted a quarterback this year, like they're going to suck because of Rex Grossman. Like there's no, literally nothing matters with that. That's what I'm getting at.
I think it just comes down to unknowns.
It is. But we have seen failure in San Francisco that people don't want to acknowledge with guys that he's picked.
Yes, we've all seen a lot of success as well, whether it be Mostert being basically any running back that's been in that backfield has had some sort of success as long as they've stayed healthy outside of Tevin Coleman. And he's showed glimpses. But let's say Mostert got a contract being an undrafted free agent that bounced around a couple teams. You look at George Kittle just being an absolute home run. Ayuk, I think, is an absolute stud, in my opinion. Debo Samuel, when he's healthy, he plays really well. So it's, I mean, yes, there are failures, but there are successes. I mean, you can look at outside of Pittsburgh, the Steelers are probably the only team that historically have drafted really good receiving options. And they have a track record for it, but it's rare. But I just look at the unknowns of New York. We don't know how good Mims is going to be. We don't know how good Corey Davis is going to be as the 1A. Like, we've seen him be really good as the 1B, but is he going to be good as the 1A? Mm-hmm. We know with Kyle Shanahan, we know what the expectation is, which if he's got healthy players around his quarterback has been successful, and Jimmy Garoppolo isn't even with Beathard and Mullins, they've been in certain spot starts. They've been pretty solid. I mean, Nick Mullins has some pretty, I think it was yards per game, something ridiculous, where he was up there with some of the elites in terms of, we talked about this. I can't remember what it was. I'd have to look this up. But regardless, let's look at the Jets situation versus the San Francisco situation and the complete unknowns with New York. I can't imagine somebody saying, yeah, I think either one is about the same. Like, it doesn't change too much for me.
No, nobody said that.
But I thought you said it wasn't.
I said it's more in the gray area. I think we should be more optimistic about New York versus like, hey, they're crappy. I don't care. Mm. Whoever goes there is going to fail. Like, that's what we think. This bias.
I agree, yeah.
Versus, yeah. I think San Francisco, like, there's a track record of not developing quarterbacks. Nick Mullins hasn't been as successful as we thought, or Jimmy G. That's all I'm saying. But I, because you said one's way better than the other. I think it is better, but I think it's a little bit more in the gray area. But
sure. But wouldn't you, Waylon, I just want to touch on the examples. So Nick Mullins and Jimmy G, don't you think that Zach Wilson would be, and like even like Justin Fields, wouldn't they be more in the pocket of a more successful quarterback like a Matt Ryan from what Shanahan has seen, maybe?
Potentially, but there's no.
Like, as far as a prospect's concerned. Julio Jones
in San Francisco. I mean, like, come on.
I mean, Ayuk, basically the same thing.
I do love Ayuk. I mean, I think he's a star. I think he's it.
But the unknown, I think, is, I don't know, it's got me a little bit excited about New York. I mean, there's a,
yeah,
you know,
I agree,
hopefully
with
a culture change. We'll just see what happens.
I don't think, I agree with Wayne. I don't think you should be as pessimistic about New York just because of everything's changed.
I didn't say that I hate the landing spot. I just said, if Zach went to San Fran instead of New York, I'm much hotter on him than New. Look at it this way. If you look at all of the landing spots right now for quarterbacks that seem to be kind of talked about, the Jags, or maybe not the Jags, but Trevor Lawrence is locked in. The Jets, San Fran, Atlanta, maybe.
They won't.
You look at Carolina. Like, you know, if I'm looking at Carolina, I'd rather have the quarterback that goes to Carolina than the quarterback that goes to New York, personally.
Yeah.
But, well, but yeah. Let's carry on.
How about Denver?
No.
Okay. So we'll get to that.
Yeah, actually, that's next. That's a perfect segue. Do you want to keep going, Waylon, or do you want to?
I got one other question with the Jets in their situation. Yeah. Do you guys think that they go running back at the top of round two?
They kind of, yeah, they need one. Yes, I'm going to say yes.
I mean, due to Tevin Coleman, as we
they need everything, though, you know?
I think it all depends. I mean, I'm guessing there won't be three running backs taken in the first round this year.
No. Or not.
I think if one of the, yeah, potentially. I think if somebody's there for them, which is likely, I can see them definitely doing it.
They need that. They kind of need that to, like, create some excitement in that franchise, you know? Like, the quarterback and running back would be a sweet way to do it.
Yeah.
Because they don't need a wide receiver, so, yeah.
But we always assume that last year we did with Miami, they're going to draft the running back, and they never did.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they had Jordan Howard, but yeah.
So, how about San Francisco? Who do you think is going to be the quarterback in San Francisco? Who are they drafting at three? I mean, they traded, I think they over traded. They gave up too much to move up to three, in my opinion.
So, my take on it is pretty simple. I don't think they needed to move up to three to get Mac Jones. I think they could have moved up to six to get Mac Jones if they wanted to. So, I have a hard time believing they spent so much capital to get Mac Jones, even though I really like Mac Jones. But I think from a purely strategic perspective,
Fields.
I think it's either, and Lance at the same thing. I think Fields makes the most sense from a, we have to go up because our guy won't be there if we moved up to four, five, or six. So that just seems, at the time, Fields was kind of the guy, right? But at the same token, okay, if I went to Vegas and put money down, I would probably put it on Fields. But I would not be surprised if they went Lance. I would be surprised if they went Mac. But that's kind of my take. I think Shanahan historically has had Jimmy, Mullins, Beathard, Matt Ryan to work with. When was the last time Cousins. He had... Yeah, Cousins. I don't remember the last time he had a purely mobile quarterback.
No, I don't either.
So it's like, does he... Is he fascinated by the potential? You'd think a guy that's kind of an innovator, right? Or at least somebody that can look at his offense and say, if I can put my guys in better positions to win and have that versatility, he likes his skill position players to be super versatile.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you want that as a quarterback, especially if you haven't had one and you've been frustrated with the lack of success with ones that haven't been as mobile? So I just don't think Mac Jones... If he goes Mac Jones, it's purely based on this is what I've worked with and this is what I know and this is what I like. But if I were betting, I would assume that he's going to go with something a little bit more dynamic to put him over the top.
Yeah. I mean, my opinion is, and I like four of the five quarterback prospects. And in my opinion, I mean, four of the five are good movers. They're athletic. They can... You know, they can do that outside zone boot. Like, I would see them all very comfortable in that scheme, especially when you have Trent Williams on one side, who is just an animal. So, you know, but for me, there's a ceiling versus volume argument here. And the floor is high with Mac Jones, but the ceiling is lower. And to me, if you have Jimmy G on your team and then you trade two firsts to move up and then use your first and a third to get Mac Jones, it's a waste because he's hopefully going to be better than Jimmy G, but it's minimal. So to me, you should go for Justin Fields, I think, should be the pick. And it's probably not very close for me because any issues that you might have with his game and letting him develop within that scheme, I think he can make up for it with athleticism, with how the team is around him. I think it can make up for some of that stuff. I think he's a good fit.
I think the progression thing is funny too. So people say, oh, he's a one, one read guy, so on and so forth. That's what Jimmy was, and Jimmy put up a solid QB2 season, and Jimmy is atrocious after the first read. So, and Justin Fields, at least he's mobile. Even if he is that guy, at least he's mobile. So I think it's a safe fantasy pick, San Francisco at 3. And you know what's funny is I think Mac Jones, to me, and I said this on a pod not too long ago, I think if we look at Mac Jones' ceiling and like kind of who he's like in terms of not being super athletic, but athletic enough, not having a rocket arm, but being pretty good right before the snap and right before. I mean, I view him more of like Matt Ryan type player. Like that's his, if he hits, I see him being a Matt Ryan, right? Which is somebody that Kyle Shanahan has had success with. So I don't know. I wouldn't be upset. Anybody that lands San Francisco at 3 for me is somebody that I'm optimistic on. And I know that you think it's an overrated situation, but I like the skill position players there that are around, and I like the offense.
Well, I do too. I'm just saying he's not like Mount Rushmore. Like, he's
this genius.
Everybody he touches goes to gold. Like, that's what it is. Everyone's like, it's a Kyle Shanahan offense.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's a lot of disappointment in that offense too. How about this as a twist? What if he went Kyle Pitts? You had Pitts.
He'd be an idiot. That would explain why he's had so many bombs. I just don't think, I'm not saying Kyle Pitts is going to be a bomb. I just don't think that doesn't make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. I just don't get that. It's possible. I just don't
right.
get it.
I don't think it is, but just you think of like a chess piece. You have him, you have Juszczyk, which then he wouldn't be on the field at the same time. You have those two receivers, any of those running backs.
I think Sewell would make more sense than Pitts.
It's funny, Izzy, that you say that, because I have a bold prediction. Maybe that in this is not the Niners, but maybe the Niners moved up because they think the Jets could go Sewell.
And they get Wilson.
Yep, and then Wilson's there.
That would be interesting.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, nobody's mocking Sewell that high, but I could see that being a fun bold prediction.
Like I said, I think the most likely outcome is they moved up to 3, and I'm sure they're like, okay, if they go Fields at 2, we're happy with Wilson at 3. If they go, I'm sure they have three quarterbacks that they really like, and they're like, if any of these three guys fall, great.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that makes sense.
I agree.
And you think most likely Mac Jones shouldn't be one of them, but yeah, I like
that. I don't think he shouldn't be based on common sense of moving up to 3. Like, you just don't need to do that to get Mac Jones.
Yeah, unless they had intel that another team was interested in Mac Jones
before
that, but it's not likely.
Very possible.
The other thing that's interesting is when they did the trade. They did it well in advance of the draft, moving up.
Yeah, they knew who they wanted.
So that's a, they heard whispers someone else might move up. It's just interesting.
Yeah, that's wild.
So you're on transition then?
Well, so Fields, we're kind of on Fields. So we talked about the 49ers, but the other two landing spot scenarios that I found in mock drafts was Detroit and New England for Fields.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe just talk about some of those as potential landing spots for him.
Detroit, I don't see that happening.
You think they're sticking with Goff, or?
Dude, that would be not good. If Fields goes to Detroit, that would be not good. For a few different reasons. You, once again, new head coach. We don't know how. I think it's a. Most people would say that the Dan Campbell signing is very head scratchy. Like, the unknown and the uncertainty with that is pretty high. Plus, you have Goff in front of you, and you don't have. You have some solid pieces offensively, but. I would view Detroit as one of the worst possible destinations for a quarterback in this class.
What? There's no weapons there now. All they have is Hockenson and
they needed to draft
Perryman and Tyrell Williams.
Guess Swift.
And then Goff is actually, he's locked in there for 2 years. I mean, the dead cap on cutting him is 30 plus million each of the next 2 years.
I can see Detroit going Trey Lance and having it be more of like, hey, we need Trey Lance to. Let's have him for a couple of years before we, utilize him, and then let Goff go after that, or trade Goff if Lance looks pretty good. But it's not similar to like the Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers situation, where they took Jordan Love and like, okay, let's try to develop him for a couple of years. And if Aaron Rodgers departs, then we got our quarterback. So I can see that happening with Detroit and Trey Lance. I just don't see them selecting Justin Fields and having him sit for a couple of years. Like, Justin Fields, from the sound of it, looks like he's going to be a quarterback that's going to come in and start relatively soon.
Yeah. Goff, I agree. I think Goff's got the keys. Why not ride him out, you know, use the money and address the position either with a project quarterback, like you're saying, like a Trey Lance, or just wait until next year's draft to address the position. So,
yeah.
But I agree. I don't think Fields makes much sense.
Patriots, unless they move up, I don't think they're getting Fields.
And they would. That's what the mock showed, was Patriots moving up to draft Fields.
Interesting. I wouldn't hate it, honestly. The only thing that sucks about the Patriots is they have a really hard time finding quality. You're talking about a team that has a perception of being amazing in terms of their offense. They have a really I don't think they've ever drafted a good wide receiver.
No.
Under Bill's tenure, they've had success with Gronk. They've had success with Aaron Hernandez. They haven't ever found a bell cow running back. They've never found a solid, not even a stud, like a great receiver. I don't even mean stud. They have never found a great receiver in the draft.
They drafted Julian Edelman. Is he? Come on.
Oh yeah. Okay. Sure.
But you know what's interesting is, like, when you want to look at the whole picture, New England,
and he was a quarterback, so
right.
They're good at drafting quarterbacks.
So he's going to turn 69 this month. So he's pretty old for a head coach. They just spent and re-signed Cam. They've got Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith. I mean, they spent a lot of that money to, in my opinion, to win now.
I agree.
Which means they're not getting Trey Lance. If they trade up, it's to get a Mac Jones. Yeah, but
is Cam your win now quarterback either, though? Like, I'm confused by all of that then.
I think they view him as such.
Yeah. I mean, they needed somebody, I think.
Cam Newton's not winning games, though. I don't understand why suddenly they think that he's the guy after seeing what he did last year.
There's a lot of things that confuse us, but doesn't mean they don't think it.
Well, when you sign big money to Jonnu Smith, then you do to Hunter Henry, a lot of us are scratching our heads.
Yeah, that's true. Everything's head scratchy.
After spending 2 third round picks on tight ends last year.
And at the end of the day, we think we know what's best for teams, and we think we know what teams are doing, and we don't even have a clue.
No.
Nope. Right? What we do is we take all of the information that we've gathered over time and said, okay, based on history and based on trend and based on what we can put together with all these pieces that we've seen, this is probably what they're thinking. But half the time, every time they draft teams, when they draft guys, we're like, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense to us from the outside looking in, but we don't know what they're thinking on the inside, right? Yeah, it just never ends up matching.
So speaking of not knowing what people are thinking of, we got the next quarterback up is Trey Lance, and a couple different team scenarios here for Trey Lance than we've covered already. The first one that I found in a mock draft was him being mocked to the Atlanta Falcons. So Waylon, what do you think about Trey Lance to the Falcons?
I don't know. They just restructured Matt Ryan. So I can't see it because of the money and how that team's structured. It's structured to kind of win now, honestly. I could see them getting a weapon, like if they went Kyle Pitts, or if they went Jamar Chase, or if they did something like that, or to fix that horrendous defense, it makes more sense. But to get Trey Lance, I don't see it.
Izzy?
Yeah, I would like that pick in terms of Trey Lance's development and long-term prospects. I would like to see Trey Lance go somewhere where there's a good quarterback in front of him. Somebody he can learn from, and then being in a situation where he's got a pretty solid situation moving forward. Obviously Julio's aging, but I wouldn't mind him being in that organization.
Yeah.
Now, I agree with Nick to a point where if they're at 4, they're drafting a corner, which would be too high, or they're going quarterback. If they don't want a quarterback, I don't know what they'd be doing it for.
They should be moving down. England. Yeah.
Unless they think that they're going to go, like, and I don't think they go Pitts, unless they feel like Sewell will be there at 4 and they go there. So I think that would be a fantastic pick. So I think it's Sewell, a quarterback, or you trade down. That would make, in my mind, that would make the most sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then the other team that's mocked that's different from what we've covered already, one was 49ers, so we don't need to go too far into that one. But the Panthers taking Trey Lance is another mocked scenario that I see here. So what do you think about that one?
The Panthers taking Trey Lance?
Yeah.
No, I don't really like it. I'd like to... I think Carolina, the right fit is Mac Jones. I think that's the right fit. He's basically a, his career path and production in college and the 1 year, like, just absolute banger is very similar to Joe Burrow. Except Joe Burrow is more mobile. He's got a little bit better arm. But I think with Joe Brady, I think is a really good fit with Mac Jones. We've seen Joe Brady have success with Joe Burrow and what he did. I think, you know, a cerebral quarterback like Mac Jones, I think that fits. So I would like Mac Jones at 8 Carolina. The only problem with Mac Jones is he has some of the issues that I had with Sam Darnold that I don't know if this is something that it's an innate thing. I don't think it's something that's taught. Is if you watch Mac Jones, and nobody talks about this, and I'm not sure why maybe I'm just fixated on it, but he throws passes off balance, just he doesn't drive the football and he has like phantom pressure. Like he will make a pass and almost like step back or fade away when he's making a pass, and there isn't anybody even near him. Like in his mind, he thinks that the clock is ticking maybe, or he's expecting to get hit because of time in his mind, but there's nobody even close to him.
So he'll feather something that doesn't need to be feathered?
No, he won't have a good platform when he's throwing. He'll step back, he'll fade away, he'll kind of like short arm it, like he'll throw it and not follow through. He'll just kind of like just kind of fire it in there, like just kind of quick get it out. But there's no pressure. Like there isn't, I don't know if Nick has noticed this.
Maybe do you think he's trying to like refine his timing on the route where like, you know, the route is hitting sooner than he expected? And
I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking, but I see it way too much. And it reminds me very much of my issues with Sam Darnold. He does the same thing. And Sam Darnold hasn't changed that in the NFL. So I don't know if Nick has noticed that with Mac Jones. I love Mac Jones, but that's a huge red flag for me. And that's the only red flag that I'm not worried about the arm strength thing. We've seen guys that don't have cannon arms be super successful. It's just as soon as he's getting ready to pass too often, he's sensing phantom pressure. And I think that's an issue.
Well, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I thought early on Mac Jones wasn't getting the respect that he deserved. Now I think he's overrated. I mean, he's just not. And again, when I say franchise quarterback, you know, I mean, heck, if you ask people in the NFL, there's like 40 franchise quarterbacks. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, if you're starting for the team, you're a franchise quarterback. You know, like Andy Dalton isn't a franchise quarterback for the Bears. Like he's just not. But like, I think there's probably 5 to 8 franchise quarterbacks. Like that's it. He's not. He's never going to be that. I don't think he's talented enough. But one thing that we don't talk about enough is we talk about how raw Trey Lance is in terms of how many games he's played in the NFL or in college. Mac Jones has started about the same, like not many games he started. And we, you know, he is the least athletic of these 5 guys. I think he has the least arm strength in terms of driving. I do think he lofts it too much. I think that's his preference. But also we've seen like Phillip Rivers that's done great at that, but he's, you know, a great quarterback. I don't know. The other thing too is I'm going to say this. I think Carolina's landing spot is a little overrated. What do we see? When we see Carolina, we're like, man, but Joe Brady's there. He's the guru. Did you see LSU that 1 year? What happened last year in Carolina? 24th in points. They were, 25th in third down efficiency, 28th in red zone percentage, 20th in fourth down percentage conversions. But like, yeah, you could say that for any team. How many of them had Robbie Anderson and Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore?
Answer here. I'll let Izzy
Teddy Bridgewater.
It.
I know.
I'll let Izzy fields it. No, it's not even Bridgewater.
It's McCaffrey. Well, it's McCaffrey who was massive to Carolina's success historically, like over the last few years. But if you look at Teddy Bridgewater, like Teddy was, outside of just not having the touchdowns, he had a pretty good season, and he's always been a pretty efficient quarterback. But he's just not a guy that can, he's not going to be a difference maker. He's not good enough to be a guy that really takes the offense to the next level. And Christian McCaffrey makes a world of difference. I'd be surprised if anybody said that he doesn't change the offense completely.
Well, hold on. Can I ask you this? Prior to this season, when Teddy signed there, mm-hmm. people were super hyped about Teddy. In that offense, Teddy, like, oh, it's this great match. He's going to be, and he wasn't. That was not the same case before the season.
Okay. So Teddy in Carolina last year, and I'd have to double check this, but I believe he by far threw the most yards per game in his career, and he had the highest completion percentage. I don't know if he had the best like QBR, because I think his interceptions were pretty high. But
he had 11, yeah. His quarterback rating, not QBR, was 92.1, which is okay.
And it's like you look at Teddy had his best season outside of the touchdowns, right? In terms of just being almost like fantasy season, and we're playing fantasy football. He had his best fantasy like season, like glimpses of fantasy season, in his career. So I look at this and say, yeah, Teddy's just an okay quarterback, but he's better served as a backup. And I think if you slot in a guy like Mac Jones, who I think we can agree is going to project better than Teddy Bridgewater if he hits, that's a good landing spot. I still think it is. I mean, if Teddy's throwing for 250 yards and it's Teddy Bridgewater, I think a guy like Mac Jones would exceed that number when he starts getting comfortable with, maybe not this first year, but second year, third year, so on and so forth.
And I'm looking at Teddy's splits with and without McCaffrey, and it's pretty pretty different.
What is it?
So weeks 1, 2, and 9, McCaffrey played. So obviously it's a small sample size, so it's kind of difficult to base everything off of it. But weeks 1 and 2, 269 and 1, and then 367 and 0. But week 9, Teddy passed for 310 and 2. I got to get better at using this PFR site, Izzy, so I can pull up splits easier than this. But that was significantly lower than his season average, or that was significantly higher than his season average. So like he was a lot more proficient when McCaffrey was playing.
Yeah, I just think it's if I'm looking at the landing spots out behind San Francisco, I'd like the quarterback at 8.
No, and I'm not saying that, but I'm also just saying we're giving a lot of credit to Joe Brady.
Sure.
When last year it wasn't, their defense points against was better than their offense, which is just bizarre. I know they didn't have McCaffrey, but again, they had more weapons than a lot of teams. So I'm just saying that's a thing. People are like, oh, yeah. Carolina, because it's, you know, he's this guru who like we haven't seen yet. Could it happen? Maybe. But also LSU had.
That's true. And Waylon, to maybe further prove your point too, like if the offense is tied to McCaffrey and McCaffrey has more health concerns in 2021, then we're back in the same boat anyway. So,
but it's a Teddy Bridgewater thing. It's not Teddy Bridgewater historically has not been he's a game manager. He needs a good defense. He won't screw the pooch, but he won't win you games. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you don't have McCaffrey, you're going to need a quarterback that can actually put his team on the back sometimes, and that's not Teddy. So I don't think you can put that on Brady, but if you look at what Teddy did relative to his past games, right, production in games, you look at it and say he put Teddy in a more advantageous position to actually make a difference. It just Teddy wasn't able to.
Yep.
And the other thing that's interesting, this is a complete sign up, but just talking about McCaffrey is just his usage in that offense, which is different versus usage previously. I mean, he averaged under 6 receptions a game, which would be much less than his 120 or 100 plus. So be interesting to see what happens. But I'm just saying, I think that like a Mac Jones or a Trey Lance there, because they need somebody now, I would think. If you did a Trey Lance and you waited 2 years and you went with Teddy for another year, you know, I don't know how that would be. I think Fields would be interesting there. If they wanted to further develop that. I have some interesting Trey Lance stats. I don't know if I've read these to you guys before. My comp for him is Aaron Brooks, by the way. Shout out to anyone that remembers Aaron Brooks and Michael Vick's cousin back in the day. That's my Trey Lance comp. So Trey Lance, again, only started 1 year. His averages for the FCS playoffs. So if people don't know FCS, they they have a bracket style playoff structure. It's well, I know the FBS is moving to that, but it's a bigger. So he had four postseason games in 2019 when they won the national championship. And if you don't know North Dakota State, they're like the Alabama on steroids for FCS. They've won like 8 of the last 9 national championships. In those four games, he's averaged 10 of 17 passes, 59% completion percentage, 150 yards, one touchdown, no picks, because we know he doesn't throw picks, okay? He had 16 rushes for 81 yards and one touchdown. Those are his averages.
Oh, average.
Now, if you saw those passing, you're like, that's nothing. But if you looked at the rushing, you're like, oh, that's really interesting. So to me, the postseason games are ones that matter the most. And you have a guy that they didn't count on passing, and he's going to be a top 10 pick. That's just an interesting thing there. And then if you go further back, if you guys remember Easton Stick back in the day at North Dakota State, his statistics, his last 2 years starting, 17 and 18, are very similar to Lance's in 19. Lance had better completion percentage by about 4 points, which is significant. Yards, all within about 300 of each other. The 1 year with Easton Stick, it was only a difference of 34. Every quarterback, interesting, all three of those years, they all had 28 touchdown passes. Lance had no picks. Easton Stick had 7 and 8 in those 2 years. Lance had 110 or 1,100 rushing yards. Stick had 677, 663. Lance had 14 rushing touchdowns. Stick had 17 and 12. All I'm getting at.
Why don't you compare him to Josh Allen? Because Josh Allen was very similar.
I think I'm comparing the same offense, is he?
Oh, just going just the offense. Gotcha.
It's North Dakota, Easton Stick, because it's the same. Yeah, I'm just saying that offense is produces really similar results. So for me, for Lance to be this top 10 potential franchise quarterback type guy, I would like you to see much, much better numbers than a fifth round pick in Easton Stick, who's never going to be a starter in the NFL. So I'm hesitant. When I watch film of Trey Lance, I'm really hesitant. I know people saw raw. I saw inaccuracy. The running is a lot more north-south than is east-west, which is more troublesome, I think, for a quarterback because you want to avoid hits. I think he's a tough kid. I think he has arm strength, but I don't think he knows how to use it right now. I think there's a lot going on where his floor is bust significantly. And not that I'm rooting against him. I'm really concerned about Trey Lance. I would.
Yeah. You've been concerned. I view it the same way with Josh Allen. You know, I was really concerned about Josh Allen for a lot of the same reasons. And you were really high on Josh Allen, if I'm correct. So it's like, I don't see much of a difference between Josh Allen as a college prospect and Trey Lance as a college prospect. They both have the same physical upside, and they both have the same technical deficiencies coming out.
Yeah.
Does Trey Lance have the same big arm? I don't remember.
He does.
It's like, it's that not the big? Same arm, though.
Oh, it's no, not. It's not it, Josh big. Allen's like all time, but Trey not, Lance yeah. has an arm.
Right. I mean, to me, the difference is Wyoming and throwing to Jacob Hollister and whomever else is way different than throwing to the best FCS receivers, which he has. I saw one game, Izzy, in the playoffs where he was one receiver, blew by the corner 3 different times. Lance missed him on 2 and completed the other one. And to me, that's a concern. I didn't see that from Josh Allen. I saw Josh Allen trying to do too much in college, because he had no one else around him, and you're not the Alabama of FCS at Wyoming. And I saw him make better big time throws, deep outs. I don't see that from Lance.
But when he played, Wyoming was the best defense in that conference. So it's not like he had to win games. I mean, the defense was allowing 17.5 points per game in that conference.
All we heard coming out was Josh Allen's completion percentage, and hey, watch him when he played Iowa, watch him when he played big schools and it didn't do as well. You don't hear that from Trey Lance, but I just told you guys how he did in the playoffs, and it's like,
I agree with you. And that's the thing. I'm concerned about him the same way I was concerned about Josh Allen. So I'm being consistent with my concerns, where I think you're being inconsistent, saying you're kind of forgiving Josh Allen because he played in Wyoming when he didn't have a lot of. You're basically saying Wyoming Division I and Trey Lance isn't Division I. But if Trey Lance played in Wyoming and put up similar stats to Josh Allen, which wouldn't be hard to do. Dude, Josh Allen put up in his junior year, he had 1,800 yards in 11 games and 59% passing.
I just told you Easton Stick put up similar stats to Trey Lance.
I got it. But Easton Stick in Wyoming, and Easton Stick, here's the thing. There are good college quarterbacks that aren't good NFL quarterbacks. So Easton Stick, there's a ton of good college quarterbacks that weren't good NFL quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So comparing Easton Stick to Trey Lance isn't fair because Easton Stick doesn't have the same physical attributes that Trey Lance does.
That's not my point of comparing, though. You know that.
Sure, but I don't think it's saying, well, Easton Stick wasn't very successful in North Dakota, or he's not very successful in the NFL, but he was just as successful in North Dakota, so Trey Lance isn't as good of a prospect as we think. It's about the upside of Trey Lance. That's what people are enamored by. It's the look at what he can do.
It's highlights. Physically. It's highlight tapes. That's the problem.
It's physicality. It's like, look what we can do physically. If he comes to the NFL, we can utilize that physicality and teach the other things. Hopefully. That's what everybody's thought is. Like, what is, you're talking about franchise quarterbacks. So when you think about franchise quarterbacks, you're looking at what is the untapped potential per player. And the untapped potential per player is so much higher with Trey Lance than it is Easton Stick. And that's why Josh Allen was so high, drafted so highly. It's because you look at Josh Allen, you say, the untapped potential with Josh Allen, if you look past the numbers in production, is so much higher than several other prospects that have ever come through any college, not just Wyoming.
And I understand your point.
Yeah.
I get your point. So, I disagree.
That's totally fine. But yeah. Like I said, I think they're very...
I mean, if you went to Davidson, Izzy, and you put up a few stats less than Steph Curry did throughout his tenure there, would you be like, wow, Steph Curry has to be this like amazing superstar potential. And then you went in like a UDFA. You'd be like, you should do a lot better than a UDFA or a fifth round pick. You know what I mean? I need to see better production. Why not? Why wasn't it there?
And that's why I felt the same way about Josh Allen, Wyoming. And now I won't make that same mistake of looking at and saying I need to see better production against these teams. So because if you do that, it doesn't, like Michael Thomas had the same problem coming out. If you looked at all of Michael Thomas's games in his final season, you looked when he played against good teams, top corners, his numbers were almost more than half as bad as they were against the soft cupcake teams, and he turned out to be one of the best receivers in the league. So it's tough when you do that, and I've done it historically, but I made this mistake with Josh Allen, and I don't plan on trying to duplicate that mistake. I'm going to try to look past that and say, okay, you look at the upside of Trey Lance, and he's like, I think what you said is accurate. He's got mega bomb potential. Like, he could bust. He's the riskiest of the five prospects.
Yep.
But he also has, to me, the second or third most potential. Yeah. And the same thing with Lamar. Like, people had the same issue with Lamar. Not running the ball, Lamar was, like, dynamic, and he produced
best,
really well.
I would say best ever prospect I saw running, coming up.
Oh, amazing. Mm-hmm. But the same thing with, the same mistake people made with Lamar is he's not accurate enough.
And I didn't like him, but is it wrong?
No.
What's been his issue in the NFL? Passing. That's still been an issue. No one wants to sign there. Why?
But he's been successful as a quarterback. He's exceeded expectations from even the individuals that liked Lamar Jackson.
Baltimore. He's exceeded Baltimore's expectations.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Dropped to 32. Yeah.
So there's just the game has changed so much where physicality it just buys you so much more opportunity. Mm-hmm. And Trey Lance has the physicality that you need. Even look at Mahomes. If you look at Mahomes, Texas Tech versus Mahomes, it's like two completely different players.
Well, and that's part of it too. Is, I mean, like the reality is Josh Allen has developed since he's been in the NFL, and that developing part is going to be really crucial with Trey Lance, and it's going to be interesting to see how long an NFL team will wait before you throw him in to see if that confidence and that development will be okay. I mean, one, this is also FCS quarterback to FBS or to NFL. That's a big jump. Just because Joe Flacco and Carson Wentz have done it, I mean, we can debate how amazing and successful they have been. I would say Joe Flacco's actually been more successful, but that's a hot take. But that's a jump. And, you know, in terms of speed of the game, the size of the guys. So, I mean, can an NFL team afford to wait 2 years? That's not how the NFL is now, you know, as much. I know there's the Jordan Love thing, but like, you know, back when Philip Rivers sat behind Breeze, that's been an outlier. How long do you think a team will wait?
Well, it depends on what they have in front of them. That's why I said Atlanta at 4, I think, is a great fit. Detroit at 8 or 7 is a great fit. Like, because you know that you can, sit Lance for a couple of years and you're not going to be forced to start him. It's not like you're putting him behind, you know, Fitzpatrick, where you know Fitzpatrick isn't going to be long for a couple of years, right? We don't know, and he's erratic and the whole thing. Where if you put him behind a Goff and an Orion, at least you know you're going to get consistent, maybe not elite production on a Goff, but you know what you're getting with Goff. You're not getting erratic play all the time in terms of just his behavior as a quarterback. You know, Fitzpatrick's a risky for the biscuit guy. But if you put him behind one of those two guys, I think it's great, and I think you're fine. But if you put him at even three, if they roll with Jimmy and say, okay, well, Jimmy's going to be the quarterback, and you just give Trey a couple years, then great.
And that's what they're saying.
Fine. But do I like him if you're throwing him into the fire in New York? No. Do I like him if you're throwing him into the fire in Jacksonville? No. Do I like him if you're throwing him in the fire anywhere else? No.
Yeah. And I think Carolina, he'd be in the fire a lot quicker. Looking at Matt Ryan's contract quickly, because I think that stuff matters. It looks like he's going to be locked in there for 2 years. So then 2023, there's $15.6 million in dead cap, which I think they could hit in 2023. So that would be probably the earliest he would start there, and in Detroit would be 2023. So 2 years, which I think would, for him to be successful, which is what we want. We want every player to be successful, whether we like their development so far or not. I think he needs 2 years.
I think that's maybe the most ideal in terms of his success. Like, the most likely outcome for his success is maybe waiting a year or two. But like we've seen with Josh Allen, like we've seen with Lamar Jackson, they've had relative success as rookies.
Justin Herbert too, surprisingly. That's the thing is more quarterbacks have success younger and in their rookie contracts than I've expected. So who knows? Maybe we're all wrong. Maybe he'll start day one and be good.
It's tough to imagine a team wanting to take somebody so high and not ever use them for 2 years, though, you know? So, like, if that's the plan, why not just wait until next year's draft, find somebody who's a little more polished?
Yeah. I mean, that's the job security, right? Like, if this guy, that potential doesn't hit, I mean, it's a waste of a first-round pick, which Green Bay has right now. So, it's tough.
Teams think about this, too, Hurley. It's like they look at it and say, okay, well, we finished fourth overall. And they're always assuming that they're going to be better. So they look at it and say, okay, this is our opportunity to get our quarterback of the future. When's the next time we're going to draft fourth overall? So if they're thinking, okay, we're going to try to contend for the playoffs, teams don't assume that they're not going to make the playoffs.
I mean, what's changed in Atlanta that's going to make them
it's not about what we think. It's about what they think. Yep. Coaches aren't playing to say, okay, we got Matt Ryan, we got Julio Jones, we got Calvin Ridley. We're going to, you know, bring in these guys. We're going to be better. We're not going to have as many injuries, and we're going to still finish bottom five.
Well, then it doesn't make any sense to draft Trey Lance based on that perception then either.
Yeah, it does, because it's the opportunity to say, when's the next time we're going to finish this low to be able to grab a high-end potential quarterback?
Hmm. You know, and the other part that makes that interesting too, Izzy, is you look at a team that won, I can't remember, 9 or 10 games last year, is Miami. So Miami was in prime spot at 3 to take another quarterback if they did not believe in Tua, and we don't have to get down that same road before we go to Tua. So they had the opportunity, and they're probably not going to be there again with all of this draft capital that they have. And they still said, nope, you know what? We're going to trade back. And then they traded up, which I thought was interesting. And we're not going to take a quarterback, which I think is just, that's a lot of trust in Tua.
I agree. I know. It definitely moves his needle up. I think it's definitely a positive. So yeah, no, I don't disagree with you there.
Yeah. Okay, last point. We got one more point to cover, and then we're going to do final thoughts with Nick Whalen. We had a commissioner topic. We'll save it for next week because we're kind of running a little bit short on time, but the last one, this is like a landing spot scenario for a quarterback. It's specifically mocked for Mac Jones. So it's NFL draft Mac. and it's got the Denver Broncos. And I think we briefly mentioned them earlier, but the Denver Broncos trading up to draft Mac Jones. So Nick, why don't you start?
Or we could just say they sit there and a quarterback falls to them. I think it's a really interesting spot in Denver because Fangio's constantly been churning and trying to make that team his own. I thought they did Philip Lindsay respectfully. Honestly, he didn't fit their scheme. They don't do zone anymore. Let him go. Melvin's not going to be the guy there, and Mike Boone backing him up. And they have a lot of talent. And offensive line wise, that's probably the biggest concern on that offense outside of quarterback, which Drew Lock did improve down the stretch, which people aren't talking about. But when you have Sutton, my boy, when you have Hamler and Judy and Fant and Melvin, that's a pretty solid setup. I mean, everybody's young besides Melvin. So I would be excited if, again, a quarterback that I like went there. Like, let's say it was Fields fell. I mean, that's great. Sure. You know, him and Locke can battle it out a little bit. And then he has some good weapons and they can do things. And plus that defense is, I think, going to get better now they got Kyle Fuller. Oh, sorry, Bears. But Mac Jones there, I think, isn't bad either, because I think he's a little bit more of a distributor where he can just quickly get this out. I think he pre-snaps well, post-snaps, I think he gets it to who he wants right away, even if he does float it a little bit. I think he could be solid there. Trey Lance, I think, would be a bad spot there. So I think Mac Jones would be decent in Denver, actually.
It's not as good as the, for me, not as good as Carolina, not as good as San Fran. But I don't think it's definitely not the worst. I think Denver gives Drew Lock another year.
Wow.
And that's what it?
That feels bold for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, dude, here's the thing. My concerns about Mac were the getting the ball out. Right? When he gets the ball out, he's sensing phantom pressure. The problem with Denver is the offensive line isn't great. So if he's doing this now with a poor offensive, with a good offensive line, it's only going to be exasperated with a bad offensive line, regardless of the tools that he has around him. And I think this is his big concern is going to be the pressure. How is he going to handle pressure? And I worry about that with Mac Jones. So I don't love it for his success in Denver. But he definitely has the pieces around him. That's undeniable. And you know, I guess you want to know an interesting thing. We say the Mac Jones as a joke. Do you know what his name is?
Mike.
His name is Mike.
Yeah. What?
His name is Michael Jones.
What?
Wow.
So he actually is Mike Jones, but his middle name. Do you know what his middle name is?
Return of the.
What was Waylon's middle name? Robert?
It's not Robert. It's McCorkle. So that's why he goes by Mac.
Oh, sick. Oh, yeah. I've seen that, actually.
This is why people listen to the pod, Izzy, is for this.
Mm-hmm. McCorkle Mac Jones. I don't know where they got McCorkle from, but yeah, exactly. That's what I said. If your name's going to be that and you go by Mac, you're going to be good. You're going to be good.
I agree. It's the Madden rule all over again. Unique, cool name, you're going to win.
Yep.
Yep. I'm Mac Jones 101 guy now, bandwagon. and that's pretty good. I think in future episodes, we're going to try to cover off on wide receivers and running backs scenarios, because that's really all we have now. And the funny thing about this type of podcast is all the context that we discuss throughout the course of this podcast goes out the window once the draft actually happens, unless some of these landing spots come to fruition, but they always don't. Surprises always happen, but that's kind of the quarterbacks in a nutshell. So with that, I think we can finish things off. Maybe you can turn on some Mac Jones. Should we have Mosier play during Nick Whalen's final thoughts? Have like Mac Jones playing softly in the background? Mosier, cue up some Mike Jones music in the background of Nicholas Whalen's final thoughts.
Actually, I listened to that, a couple of his songs recently, which is fun. My final thoughts this week is I think with the good weather coming about, I think that we need to, or I've done recently, something you guys could try is unplugging a little bit, getting away from your phone, getting away from TV, getting away from the technology stuff, spend some time with your family, get outside, get some fresh air. I think it's a good reset for this other part of the world that sometimes we ignore, but it's been pretty good for my being, my soul. So I think that disconnecting and just... you know, your thoughts, your mental health, your physical health, I think get outside, get some fresh air and see how it rejuvenates you.
Love it. I recorded that on my screen with my phone. I'm going to put it on TikTok. I'm going to call it NickTok, actually. I think it's going to get a lot of hits. That's great advice. I'm going to do that today. It's Easter for us. Mm-hmm. Easters. That's all we got, you guys. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week. Make sure you check out the main handle on Twitter at @FFDynastyTrades. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Mike Jones. Gotta make another trade for Sunday. Can't wait. Not enough bait.
lost and my opponent's gonna come and cut kicks in. It's no hate, just facts. There's just no way I'm last.